Today's episode of the Mighty Parenting Podcast is brought to you by Acree, the on-demand virtual writing tutor for students. And this week, they have another tip for us in teaching our kids how to write. Last week or two, we heard about tips for picking out prompts for college essays, because we are in that time of year where things are getting a little crazy. And this week, Acree tells us that what we want to do is encourage our child to write many drafts of the college admissions essay so that they fully explore their topic. Now, I know kids don't really want to do that. They feel like they should be able to just sit down and write it straight through, no questions, no problems. But that's not how writing works. Every time they do another draft, they're going to improve their essay. They'll clarify things. They'll get new ideas. They'll tighten up their writing. Revision is normal. In fact, it's not even normal. It's really necessary to write a really good essay. And this is actually true whether kids are writing it for a college admissions prompt, a scholarship essay, something for school, a cover letter for a resume to be sent out. Whatever they're writing, going through multiple drafts and going through revisions is going to tighten that up and make it better. And speaking of better, I just got good news today. I talked to Acree and they have opened up a free trial. They were going to be adding it to their website, but they're making it available to the Mighty Parenting community early. So you guys can sneak in there and you can get a 48-hour trial of Acree. So you can take an essay or a school assignment that your child's working on, a college essay, whatever they've got going, and just pop it in there and have them work with that writing tutor and see how their writing improves. So yes, you can go to Acree.com, E-C-R-E-E.com, but if you want to do the free trial, go through the Mighty Parenting website. Just go to mightyparenting.com and then on the menu, click on the sponsors tip page. You'll see Acree there. Click on any of the Acree links and they will take you to a page where you can get early access to that free trial. So thanks to Acree for sponsoring Mighty Parenting and keeping us here on the air, keeping the lights on.
Welcome to Mighty Parenting, the podcast with real, raw, and relevant talk about raising teens and parenting young adults.
Welcome to Mighty Parenting, where we help you raise teens and parent 20-somethings so they can become happy, successful, and emotionally healthy adults. I'm your host, Sandy Fowler, and today we are doing our holiday prep episode, because if there's one thing I have learned coaching people on reducing stress and speaking about having better holidays, a little bit of prep goes a long, long way to creating a better holiday season. We have so many things coming up. We just got through Halloween. We've got Thanksgiving, and then you get into all of the December holidays and then New Year's, and there are all kinds of celebrations and events and things to be done and gifts to buy. And there are common problems that rear their heads this time of year. So what I decided to do is attack a few of the most common. Hopefully we can get you some help with something that's bothering you by tapping into the things that people have the hardest time with. And one of the reasons I wanted to address this on Mighty Parenting is that this time of year can get hectic, it can get stressful, it can be sad, it can be all kinds of things, and those things impact our entire family. When you have one parent who is stressed out or out of sorts, that affects everybody, and it's got a chance of affecting your relationship with your teen as well. So we want to make sure that we're doing whatever we can to keep that connection with our kids, to make sure that we're the people we want to be, that we can be the best, least stressed version of ourselves, so that we can have not only a good holiday season, but maintain that relationship in that environment that we want to have in our home. So, problem number one that people have issues with is just the plain old busyness of the season, having that packed holiday calendar to deal with. And it is absolutely crazy how much can get jammed into a very short period of time. And the more kids you have, the more school events and events for their activities and things going on and gifts that they need to take in and cookies that need to be baked and just more and more things happening. And it increases, seems like it's exponentially with each person in the family. So one of the best tools that I have found for dealing with this is to not let yourself be blindsided, but instead sit down, have a little family gathering where everybody can bring their calendars, their information sheets from clubs and sports and activities from school, put all that information, gather all that information together, and start writing it in on one master calendar. Whether you want to do this electronically, you know, Google Calendar is a great place to do that when you have older kids, if they're using the electronic calendars, because you can set one up and then just share that calendar amongst the whole family. But you can write it out on a paper calendar. You can put a sticky note for each day and stick that up on the wall. Do whatever works for you, but actually write down everything that is going to be happening. And then take a step back and let everybody look at it and go, okay, so right now, this is what we're planning on doing. And don't stop with the kids' activities. Don't stop with the events you need to do for work, the Christmas parties and all of that. Also write down when you're going to do the traditions or the activities that are important to your family. If you have special meals that you do together, if you get a Christmas tree, if you do holiday baking, any of those family events that you need to happen, traditions or even just to-do list items that take big chunks of time like that, get those on there too. A couple of reasons for that. One is they take more time than you think, and blocking out some time for it in your brain makes a big difference. The other thing that happens is that you are less likely to overburden yourself by adding more things than you can manage. Not that that doesn't still happen. I know that still happens. Been there, done that, got the t-shirt, got the sweatshirt and the Santa hat. But this way, you know, if someone invites you to an event and you look at your calendar and you see that, oh, you're spending all day going out to the Christmas tree farm and cutting down a tree and putting it up and then decorating it or whatever it is that you have to do, you can at least pause and go, well, if we don't get the tree then, when will we get it? Or if you have kids in college or kids who are working or kids who are in that early empty nest stage and they're going to be traveling back to be with you to do some of these traditions, you got to work out work schedules and figure out when things can happen. I know once my girls hit college age, this got really hard. And we found that there were certain traditions that we loved as a family that there would only be one day from Thanksgiving to Christmas. There was like one day that we could fit in to do that. And if we hadn't talked to anybody, if we hadn't talked to each other about it, if nobody had looked at the big picture, we might have missed out on some of our really important traditions, or one of the kids may not have been able to be there. When taking just a little bit of time and having that little family meeting, family gathering, you know, make it fun. Have it over dinner, have some dessert, play a game and talk about it, whatever you guys like to do, you know, sit around the campfire. It doesn't have to be slogging through stuff. This can be a fun and interesting time too, but make sure you get all that information in there. And again, taking that step back and look at the big picture, you may find that you need to make some adjustments, that you need to move things around a little bit, or you may find that there's just more on the calendar than you guys can physically do, which is one of those catch-22s. It's like, oh my gosh, there's more than we can do. Well, now we have to say no to something. Yes, you have to say no to something, but it's less painful to be aware way up front that you need to say no to something and just choose what you're going to drop, that's a lot less pain than not realizing that you're carrying around this burden all through the season because you're trying to get more done than you actually have time for. You have more things that need to be done on a Saturday than there are Saturdays. And especially this year, Thanksgiving is late, folks. If you hadn't noticed that yet, take a look at a calendar. Thanksgiving is on, I believe it's the 28th, so it's very, very late. And if you want to know some tips and tricks for saying no, let me know that through our Facebook group, the Facebook page, Twitter, Instagram. We're at Mighty Parenting on all of those. Or email me at connect@mightyparenting.com. And I'll make sure to get something together for you guys to teach you how to say no without feeling bad about it and without making other people upset with you. So that's one, the busy holiday calendar. Two, finances. Money is a big holiday issue. And I get that. You know, we've had years where that's been a problem, and I've worked with people for whom that's been a problem. So this goes back to the concept of planning a little bit again, and is doing one of two things. If you've saved money for Christmas, then make your plan for using only what you've saved to use. Okay, so if you have money set aside specifically for gifts, make a list of everybody you need to buy a gift for, and allot a certain amount to each person, or just blanket say, okay, you know, we have this many dollars. We have $100. We have 10 people. We can spend $10 a gift. Simple math, right? But knowing in your mind how much you have for each individual gift creates a very different mindset when you go shopping than just, ooh, you know, we have $2,000 to spend on Christmas presents. You'll find yourself buying all kinds of things and then still not having enough money to pay for it. But if you break that down and say, oh, we have $2,000, but we need to buy for 10 people, then that's $200 per person. And that gives you a better mindset, and it gives you something to help rein you in when you're shopping so you don't get that huge January credit card bill that you weren't expecting and have no way to pay, which then puts a kibosh on your whole next year, right? So if you set aside your budget for gifts, do that. If you just set aside money for Christmas in general, also take into account that other things that you're going to do, like travel that you're going to do, if you have other expenses like getting a Christmas tree or doing a volunteer donation type of situation, yeah, put those things in there as well. And make sure that you cover that. I've also noticed that our utilities just go up at Christmas. We are Christmas people. We put up Christmas lights. We do more driving, even around town. And we end up spending more money even on food because I'll buy things that are more convenient because I don't have as much time to cook from scratch. So just start being aware of yourself and your family and how you guys function. And aim for the target. Now, that was what I said to do if you did save. What if you didn't save? Okay, well, fine. You didn't save and you're going to spend money on Christmas. So decide how much you are willing to spend on Christmas and where that's going to come from. And then once you decide it, follow all the steps I just talked about. So you may decide, okay, we have, you know, $10 per person, or we have $200 per person, or we're spending all of our money going on a big family vacation with extended family, whatever it is, whatever works in your world. But look at it now and decide what you are willing to spend so that you don't, again, end up with, I call it a financial holiday hangover. You don't want to end up with that in January and spend all of next year trying to deal with it. You may choose to be paying off some of that into the new year, but at least make a conscious choice about it, because that's what creates a lot of the stress, is the not knowing what's happening with that. And that's something that definitely needs to be a discussion amongst or between the consenting adults in the household to make sure that you guys are in agreement on how that's all going to work. And then if, you know, as you're bringing kids into holiday preparations, make sure they understand what is going on in terms of both time and money. You know, hey, your job that you chose was to wrap gifts and it needs to be done by the 15th. And here's the money we have to purchase supplies for wrapping. Bring them into that too, so that they know what is expected of them up front. So that's two. We have the busy holiday calendar. We have holiday finances. The third one is family friction. And this is, I guess it's a different kind of painful. I was going to say it's the most painful thing, but I think it's a different kind of painful. And the holidays are great, but they bring about lots of family events. And for many people, those family events have definite challenges in them. There are individuals, or maybe your whole family, that maybe you don't see eye to eye. Maybe they rub you the wrong way. There are lots of things that can be going on. So I just wanted to share a few tips and strategies that I have learned or uncovered over the years that can give you a little bit of a leg up and make it more enjoyable. The first thing is asking yourself, why are you going to this event? This is one of those tricky brain situations. In my work, I work with people to help them dig through, in my coaching work, I help people dig through their priorities and their calendars and figure out how to structure a life that has low or no stress by making key choices. And one of the things that happens in there is there are inevitably things that are responsibilities, things that we feel we need to do or people we need to take care of, things that need to be done. And when we find ourselves in that place where we're going, oh, I have to go do this. This needs to happen. I'm the only person who will do this. That's stress. That's unhappiness. That's not what we want for our holiday season. But when we dig down, when you start going, well, wait, why do I have to do this? Why do I need to do this? And when you get really, really honest with yourself, so let's say it's a grandmother's Christmas event. She likes to have her own Christmas party at her house with her kids, and it's really something you maybe don't enjoy some of the people at, or it's just too much for you to travel to get to that. And you're like, oh, I have to go do this grandma Christmas thing. I don't want to do this. Well, the truth is you do not have to do it. When you say you have to do it, what you're really saying is that you choose to do it rather than live with whatever the consequences are of not doing it. And a lot of times people will tell me, well, but so-and-so will get upset with me. They'll be mad at me. Next time I see them, they'll make my life difficult. Okay. Well, why do you care if they're upset with you? And just keep asking yourself those questions. Why? Until you get to the very root of why you're actually doing it. And what typically happens in a situation like that is you find out that, well, you're doing it because you care about this person and you love them. And so you want to do things that please them, that make them happy, that don't hurt their feelings. You want to be kind to them. And doing this is a kindness. And you've built up a lot of stories about what will happen if you don't do it. But when you look at that and go, oh, I'm going because this makes my grandmother happy and I like to make her happy. Do you hear the difference in that? And I have to go to this family thing. I have to go to this family thing, or I'm going to this family thing because it makes my grandma happy and I love her and I want her to be happy. It's a kind of a subtle shift, but it creates a very different feeling in us. about doing something, when we look at the positive reasons that we are choosing to do something or go somewhere or be someplace, it makes it easier for us to be there and opens the door for us to actually enjoy it more. So the number one thing is, why are you at this event? You know, should you even be going to it? Sometimes the answer is no, you shouldn't go. So that's an option too, right? Got to explore that one and go, what really makes sense? The other thing that deciding why you're going to the event, helps with is dealing with people once you get there. If your entire reason for going to this event is to make your grandmother happy, then do you really have to sit there while Uncle Bill talks about his hobbies endlessly that you have absolutely no interest in? Or he harangues you about your parenting techniques? Do you have to sit there and just take that if the reason you're there is to make grandma happy and to be kind to her? No. Now, that doesn't mean you have to be a jerk to Uncle Bill. Is that what I'm saying either? But you can choose to remove yourself from that situation. You can choose not to sit down next to Uncle Bill and have a conversation with him about it. If he comes up to you and starts bugging you about your lifestyle, your parenting strategies, your relationships, whatever, you can just return a question. Answer his question with a question. Go, why do you want to know that? Or, I really appreciate your concern. And that's not a question, it's a statement. You can say that and then walk away. I really appreciate your concern. Or, it means so much to me that you care. Or, thanks for sharing your thoughts. Doesn't mean that you have to agree with him. Yeah, that's really interesting. Huh, I never thought of it that way before. Wow. Yeah, you definitely have quite an interesting viewpoint there. Those kinds of comments can be made. It does not mean that you agree with them, and it also doesn't mean that you're going to take their advice. It just means that you were kind enough to listen to them and allow them to talk about whatever it is that they wanted to talk about. So remember that with that extended family like that, get in your mindset, set your boundaries, and use deflecting comments or questions, things that aren't going to cause you to get into a big fight or something. Who cares if their opinion is different from yours? Now, if it's something that you feel morally you need to address, well, that's a little different story, and we don't have time to cover that one today, too. But that's the extended family. Let's talk about your immediate family. There can be family friction in the immediate family. We did an episode on family friction, titled it that, right? So, when things get stressed, when things get busy, is that friction actually going to lessen? No, it gets worse, right? So again, we want to go back to taking advantage of things you're already doing. So we already talked about this idea of doing a little holiday planning about the calendar and about the finances. So take advantage of that. Make that do double and triple duty. And when you're talking with your family about what's happening and all the things to be done and places to go, ask each person in the family, what's really important to you about the holiday season? Is there a tradition? Is there an event? Is there somebody that you want to do something special with? Is there a particular activity? What is it that's most important to you? And take that into account when you are making plans. And what happens is when you do this right up front, it's telling everybody in the family, and in particular those teenagers who may feel a little put out by so many obligations being placed on them, it's letting them know that you do care about their thoughts, you care about their feelings, their opinions, their desires, what they want from the season, and you're willing to work with them. And what we want to do is design something that works as well as possible for as many people as possible in the family. So, get their input on what they want to do. Also, let them share in the prep and the planning and the work. I mentioned that before, right? Maybe they're responsible for wrapping things. Maybe they need to go buy the Hanukkah gifts. Maybe they have other responsibilities. So, hey, we have a lot of things to get through to get ready for the holiday. You could do and fill in the blank. You did this when they were toddlers, right? Oh, you can wear the green shirt or you can wear the red shirt. Which one would you like to wear today? You can do the same kind of thing here. Oh, you could do this or this or this. You know, you could run the errands or you could start dinner or you could go buy this gift. Which would you prefer to do? And give them some options or make a list of everything that needs to be done and kind of go, hey, folks, this is what we've agreed. You know, we agreed on things we wanted to do. To make those things happen, this is what needs to be done. Who's going to do what? And let people sign up for things. But again, that gives them input into what they're actually going to be expected to do. And my last bit of advice is whatever sticky situations are brewing, whatever's sitting out there on the horizon, usually tackling them earlier helps. So we're right at the beginning of the month here, and that gives you time before Thanksgiving hits in a few weeks and before we get into all the December holidays. Now is the time to think things through, decide what your family's doing, and then deal with the other people and organizations and family members so they have plenty of notice about what you're thinking and so that you're talking to them when they're not so stressed. The longer that we wait, the closer we get to the actual holidays, the busier everybody is, the more emotional people get, and anything else that we want to do, or any changes we want to make, or any concerns or problems that we have, they amplify. Remember, you can't please everyone all the time, and it's not your responsibility to make anyone else happy. Be kind, yes. Be honest, yes. So breathe. You are a mighty parent. I know you've got this. And you can visit sandyfowler.com for stress-relieving strategies, coaching, holiday help books, and more. So if you're looking for more, head over to sandyfowler.com. And if you're interested in a group coaching for stress relief or holiday help, let me know. I can put that together. I had played with that idea. If you have a group of friends, you want to do a private group, we can talk about that too. So just reach out and let me know that through my website, sandyfowler.com. Thanks for being here today, Mighty Parents. You guys are great. Love this community. I appreciate you. I appreciate all the liking, sharing, commenting for the shows. That really helps us out a lot. So thank you so much. Remember that since you're a mighty parent, you got this, and I'll see you next week.